just really don't be afraid to go after what you want. No matter how impossible it seems, just do it. And don't keep thinking about doing it and don't like keep talking about doing it. Just actually get up the next day and do it.
Welcome to the Deis Podcast. My name is Rachel Hollis, and I've built a multi-million dollar media company with a high school diploma and a Google search bar. Each week, we'll share direct, tangible advice or inspiring interviews with the same intention. These are the tools to change your life. Y'all, today I am hanging out with stylish blogger and actress Gracie Mercedes. We're discussing everything from how to start a fashion blog to how to balance your side hustle. For those of you who have always dreamed about being a social media influencer, this is an episode you do not want to miss. Here's our chat. So Gracie, for people who have never heard of you before, mm-hmm. who are not freaking out about you like all the girls in the office right now.
Stop it.
No, it's true. Can you tell us about yourself, what you do, how you got started?
Yeah, okay. My name is Gracie. I'm from New York City originally, but I've lived in LA a while now, about 12 years. I've done a lot of things. Okay. I've had many jobs and I've done a lot of things. I started as a producer at MTV right out of college. And then I eventually moved to Los Angeles to pursue acting, which is something I always loved but never thought I can actually do as mm-hmm. a job. When I first moved here, I also started styling on the side because I didn't want to wait tables anymore. I started hosting and doing like online hosting. And it was actually the hosting that brought me to blogging.
Okay.
Because I had gotten an on-air host agent who had told me, and this was about 7 years ago.
Okay.
He's like, the world of hosting has changed. You can no longer just be like an attractive person who can speak on camera.
Yeah.
You have to have a niche. You have to be an expert at mm-hmm. something. And I was like, well, I'm a stylist and I work in fashion or I love fashion. He's like, great. Turn your website into a fashion website.
Yeah.
And so it started as more of an inspirational website, kind of like Because I'm Addicted, if you know that site, where it was things I loved, mm-hmm. Lookbooks, and Fashion Week, things like that. It wasn't until I discovered personal style blogs or OOTDs, which at first I had no idea what that stood for.
Like, that?
Yeah. And I thought it was such a weird thing. I was like, these girls are just taking photos of themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really get it.
Yeah.
But then I had a photographer friend shoot me in my clothes, and I was like, let's just try this.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when people started following and started becoming interested in me and my blog, and around the time when brands started reaching out. And back then, it was just free clothes. It was like, here's some cute stuff. Can you wear it? And if I liked it, I did.
Yeah.
But then eventually that turned into, oh, we'll pay you to wear this.
Yeah.
Which was like, what?
Yeah.
And then that turned into probably over the last 3 years, like a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So now I'm a fashion blogger and an actress.
Just for people who are listening who may not understand, I feel like mm-hmm. it's important for us to just really quickly explain how, if you are an influencer in mm-hmm. the style space, do you make money? Because that's like the number one question I get as an
yeah.
like, but how are you making
how
money?
How are you making
yeah.
money?
Yeah. And it's the answer is 10 different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So as an influencer these days, my money usually comes from collaborations with brands, mm-hmm. mostly fashion brands, but some lifestyle brands. Mm-hmm. A brand will approach, I now have representation, a blog manager, mm-hmm. which is like a whole nother world.
Yeah.
But like if you're an actor or a writer and you have an agent, it's kind of the same thing. Brands work with them to secure influencers. Mm. And then these influencers then go and create content for either your blog or your Instagram or both.
Mm-hmm.
And that content can be unique to whoever the influencer is. Mm-hmm. So for me, a lot of times, it's a simple outfit post. It's take whatever thing they're trying to plug at the moment and style it in my own way,
mm-hmm.
Photograph it, write about it, mm-hmm. put it on my blog, put it on my Instagram. Sometimes it's more interesting than that. Sometimes it's like a video, or sometimes I'm just traveling. Sometimes I'm just talent where I just have to show up on
yep.
a photo shoot.
Those are the best days.
Yeah, those are the best
days,
for
days.
Sure. Yeah.
I have one of those days on Monday. I'm like, yay.
Yeah, Lord. When you can just like be the like talent and not have anything
everything
to do after.
Yes.
That's the best job.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how you make money. And then some influencers make some money through affiliate links. Yeah. But I honestly, that's never been a big moneymaker for me.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't use it enough.
Yeah.
But it's just never been.
Yeah. I will say, so for us, the same kind of thing. We do a ton of branded collaborations. But affiliate links are a thing for us. So yeah. I'll say that's definitely something where I realize so often I'm not a style. I definitely take pictures and outfits on Instagram, but it's not my specialty. I have no idea what I'm wearing.
Like, you look adorable.
Right now, I'm literally wearing pedicure flip-flops that are bright yellow, and I'm super embarrassed. So I have really cute lamb shoes that I'm not that are not on my feet, and I wish you could see them. So often I would be wearing something. People are like, "Where's that sweater from? Where's that watch from? Yeah. Where's that?" And then you realize all of a sudden that, wow, 600 people followed that link. Like, mm-hmm. they went and followed that link, and, you know, you have to expect that a percentage of those people bought that sweater when they went to it. So we started using affiliate links a couple of years ago, and all that means now is that we're getting a percentage of those sales. So it's not, like, an additional sale. It's just things that you set up with, you know, if it's Nordstrom's or Amazon or whatever it is, that you're getting a percentage that, you know, hey, you sent all these people to us, and we want to hook you up. Mm-hmm. So that's what affiliate links are. So we are definitely the same way. We make money. We have like 10 different horses in the race, and they all sort of work together in conjunction. But that is the magic answer for like my in-laws who are like, what do you do? Like,
how do you make money?
We make videos for Rubbermaid. They pay us money. So this was 2010. Is that when you, 7 years ago?
Yeah, around 2010.
Okay. And how has that evolved for you? Because media is so crazy. And I'm sure for you it's the same way. What worked for us a year ago doesn't work for us now. It changes so fast.
It's changing all the time. And I'm constantly frustrated with that. Like, I just don't know what people want anymore. Sometimes I feel like I don't, what do you like? Like, what do you want? But I think with that is, like, you know, the space is way more oversaturated than it was when I started. And when I started, I didn't start to make money because you couldn't make money, or I didn't know you could make money. So I was just doing it, one, as a creative outlet, and two, to kind of support my hosting career, which it ended up giving me really great opportunities. I did 6 months as a style host. I did like a style segment on Access Hollywood in conjunction with My Habit, which no longer exists, but it's owned by Amazon. And I did that for 6 months. And that was kind of when I realized like hosting wasn't necessarily for me. Like I might host something if I create a show. I would like host my own show.
Yeah.
But it made me realize like, oh, well, I don't really want to host, but this has led to the blogging, like blogging full time and figuring out that world. But yeah, it does change I want to say every day.
It really does.
I feel like people want different things
every day.
Like sometimes they really love a photo of me and my husband, and sometimes they don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes they love my dog, and sometimes they don't care.
Yeah. And it seems, I think for people who don't live in this world, that kind of us sort of thinking through what they like and don't like could seem like frivolous or vapid, and it's really not that. It's, this is a business. This is a business that supports your family. This is a business for me that supports the staff out here. So it's important that we pay attention to what the audience wants, and it is really hard. When you see these women and men who are influencers who are killing it, like just, they're growing, that people are, they have that engagement, they have, like, bow down to them, for those of you who are listening, because that takes so much work. You think like, oh, we just put a sweater on. But you're planning it out. You need to be forward thinking. You've got to shoot way in advance. So you need to think seasonality. Like, there's so much that goes into it that people don't understand.
There is. It's a lot of work. And I do feel like, you know, one of my pieces of advice is to, while you're trying to see what works, also try not to compare yourself to other influencers, because that's like just such a killer. And especially for people like me who started a while ago, I feel like it is a stagnant time. It's really hard to like break through and like get a bigger following. And then you see these like guys and girls who popped up a year ago and they're like 500,000 followers.
How did this happen?
But I do think it's like there's something about, oh, well, they're new and fresh and exciting. And so if you have been around, then you have to almost reinvent yourself constantly.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's funny. You'll see really big people who are like, chop their hair off. They went from like super long hair, now they've got a pixie cut, and it seems so silly, but it really is about that reinvention.
Exactly.
Because so many girls, I get it all the time, I'm sure you do too, I want to be an influencer, I want to be, which is so funny, like, that that's a thing, right? Because none of us started out wanting to influence people. We were just like, how do I work the internet? So what would you say to someone who's interested in starting out?
I would say, Have a very, very strong point of view. Mm-hmm. Don't start a blog that looks just like everyone else's blog. Don't do exactly what everyone else is doing. Yep. Don't post the same stuff that everyone... Like, if I see one more latte, I'm going to shoot myself. So it's like things like that. Try to reinvent yourself. Funny I said that because I just shot a latte.
Yeah. it works.
I'm like, you'll see a latte in a couple of weeks from me. But I think, especially if you can have a strong, like, niche or point of view. Mm-hmm. I'm always encouraging, like, moms who want to start blogs. I'm like, pimp out your family. Yeah. Like, people want to know about your kids. And they want to know about your husband. And they want to know how you do it all. Yeah. And, like, a lot of times people shy away from showing their kids, which I totally understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you want to work in that world, it's
about your life.
It's about your life.
Yeah, totally.
So you have to be open to that. I think having a specific, and, you know, I've talked to girls who are like, oh, I don't know. I feel like my style is, like, too out there. And I'm like, no,
that's
there.
Perfect.
But embrace that you're out there and really go for it because not everyone is out there.
And make sure you're using those hashtags so that people who are also out there can find you and you can find commonality. I would also add, there is real power. If I was starting today, I would really focus heavily on local. So everyone's trying to be nationally or worldwide famous. That's real. But if you want to just start to get a following, I would be all about the city that I live in. Where do you, what's the best, like, brewery? What's the best coffee place? What's the best whatever? And be tagging that so that you can build up a local tribe of really diehard fans who are also in your city and then use that to expand.
Yeah, that's great.
Because, like, try and be the big fish in a small pond instead of, like, oh, I'm going to take over the world.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. I'm really interested in your perspective. I personally, this is, like, super scandalous to say, but I think blogging is dying or dead or gone.
Yeah.
I think Instagram has become the new blog. Mm-hmm. Now, I still certainly have one, and we absolutely do put stuff on it every week, but I just don't think that it is what it was 3 years ago. 3 years ago, as a point of reference, 2 million people a month coming to my website. Mm-hmm. Now, the number's drastically different. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious from someone else what your perspective is.
Yeah. my website hits have cut in half probably over the last year or so. And my Instagram has definitely grown, but it hasn't grown so much. Mm-hmm. So it is this weird place where, like, but I will say, on the flip side, brands always still want a blog post.
Agreed.
They still want you to have that blog post.
Yes.
Because, you know, Instagram is a thing right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so was MySpace at one point.
Things so
like
disappear.
Yeah. And, you know, a blog could be forever.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to go away. I think with that, like, I'm redoing my blog at the moment. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the new one will launch, like, the end of December, right before the new year. Mm-hmm. And I've changed the format of it to look more like a website, like a magazine, to be more about Gracie Mercedes and less about, like, fashion and style Gracie.
Sure.
So I think that helps, just reinventing your site and changing with the times on your blog as well.
Totally.
But, yeah, I do think less people are apt to go to your blog.
Yeah. And I think that's something, too, that definitely in this industry you have to pay attention to. What are the signs of life? Like, where are people circulating? Mm-hmm. I would even say my biggest following is on Facebook because 2 or 3 years ago, Facebook was such a massive deal. Hey, let's build all of these fans on this platform. And now anyone who works in it understands the algorithm is set up in a way to benefit Facebook. Obviously, they're a business. I get it. but it is the same sort of thing for me. We're not seeing that engagement there. And the only way we can access it is by paying. And I'm not interested in that. So Instagram is now, like, the focus is shifting there. I think it's probably worth saying, too, maybe for those people who are listening who are not new to this, maybe they've been in it for a little while, you can't be romantic about what this industry is if you want to make a living. I think you have to pay attention to what the market is doing, not, like, you can bang your fists on the table and be like, oh, 2 years ago Facebook, like, guess what, it's not, you know, they got us all, they tricked us all, we all bid it, we all built our pages, and now we have to pay for it. So I would just say, like, letting go of that romance is probably important too. Hey guys, we'll be back in a hot minute with more of this interview, but now a quick word from a sponsor. Each chapter of Girl Wash Your Face begins with a specific lie I used to believe that left me feeling overwhelmed, unworthy, or ready to give up. As a working mother, a former foster parent, and a woman who has dealt with the insecurities about my body and relationship,
I try and speak with the insight and kindness that would come from a best friend. I want to help you unpack the limiting mindsets that destroy your self-confidence and keep you from moving forward. My book, Girl, Wash Your Face, is available everywhere books are sold, and the Audible version is narrated by me. I hope you'll check it out. If you are heading into the new year with a huge desire and a New Year's resolution to get organized, I have the answer. The Cozy app. This is something that Dave and I discovered, honestly, through trial and error. We really wanted to get our lives together. We really wanted a schedule that he and I could both have to access what the kids were doing on which days, what doctor's appointments we needed to go to, whose birthday party was this Saturday. And honestly, you guys, we tried out about 15 different options before we found Cozy. We love Cozy because we have access to each other's schedules, what the kids are up to, and our nanny's on it as well. So we can all communicate who needs to be doing what at what time. If you are a working parent, you have to have this app. And here's the deal, two really cool things. You can even add items to your Cozy list using Amazon Alexa, and it's totally free, you guys. Get the Cozy app. COZI from your app store or cozy.com/Rachel. Hey y'all, do me a favor. While you're listening to today's episode, take a screenshot and put it on Instagram or your Insta stories and tag me. I love hearing what you think and seeing what you're up to, and it helps the tribe remember to go listen to this week's episode. Thanks so much.
So you are blogging and acting still, is that correct? And how do you balance? Those are two really big asks, like emotionally, physically, all the things. How do you balance those?
I don't. No, I am, you know, it was very easy to balance both about 2 or 3 years ago when neither was doing that great. Yeah. And now that both are doing very well, like, thank God.
Yeah.
It is nearly impossible. Yeah. And I am a one-woman show. I had a assistant for a little while, then who she went to school in Portland, and right now I have like holiday help. Mm-hmm. But in general, I'm just a one woman show, mostly because I don't even have the time to kind of train someone to help me in the first place. So it almost ends up being harder to have someone help me. Mm-hmm. But it's hard, you know. The full time blogger can wake up and sit at a desk and shoot and do whatever she wants and just sit there all day long and work on her blog for 6 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours. I have to run to Santa Monica for a commercial audition, and that takes 3 hours, you know what I mean? Or I have to run to a shoot, or I have to run to... So it is challenging, and they're both professions where you have no idea what your schedule is going to be like ever.
Yeah.
I think I had to reschedule this like three times because you just never know what your schedule is going to be like. So it is challenging, but, you know, I feel so grateful because as an actress... anywhere, but especially in like Los Angeles, New York, most people who are actors have to do something else in between jobs, and it usually entails waiting tables or bartending or doing something they don't necessarily want to do or love doing. And so I'm fortunate enough that like my blog can pay my bills and I can still be an actor and I can still go on auditions and I don't have to worry about getting a shift covered or having my boss let me leave. So I'm very fortunate, but it is very challenging and very hard. I will say it's a time now where acting and blogging are kind of crossing a lot more. Like people like Reese Witherspoon has, you know, a website or slash blog, Gwyneth Paltrow. And even at a smaller level, like smaller actresses all have blogs now. And so I do feel like, oh, well, I already have a blog.
Hey, I already have the infrastructure.
I'm like, hey guys, I get ready to do this. And it was about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. I was at a Christmas party, and my husband's a comedy writer, so I was with a bunch of these comedy writers and friends of mine. And one of them said to me, she goes, so how's work and stuff? She's like, so like, what's your goal? Do you want to be like Rachel Zoe? And I was like, oh, no. Yo, I love Rachel Zoe. She's amazing. I go, but I don't want to be a stylist. And I realized in that moment that people just saw me as a blogger. They had no idea I was an actress because I wasn't really putting that out there. And so I was like, well, that's not good. And people need to know I do both. And so around that time, I started talking about my acting more and blogging about it and sharing like commercials I've done or sharing projects I'm working on. Started writing. And it's been really cool because now my followers, readers, want to know what's going on in my acting life.
That's great. That's That's
and
great.
They want to like, and they're like supportive of it. They're really like interested in it, which is really cool.
Yeah. It's a good question, I think, for anybody in business or even life to ask themselves, like to check in about I just assume everyone does this and it sounds like you do. So assuming everyone does this, I know exactly where I want to go. Yeah. I have a very clear idea in my mind of what it is that I want to do. But I need to check in with myself often. Like, is my, like, if you open my calendar right now and you looked at it over the course of a month, would you be able to see evidence of the life that I want to have in the future right now? Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes we get so wrapped up in day to day that we forget to work on, we think, like, I'll do this, that'll get me there.
Yeah.
And a year passes or 2 years passes and you're nowhere closer.
Yep.
I think it's just a, like, such a great wake up of, like, wait, I want to be, or like ultimately like acting is maybe, is that sort of more of a goal for you than blogging?
Yes. I just feel like blogging, not that I'm this like massive blogger with a million followers, but I feel like blogging has already been successful for me. Like I am making a living having a blog.
Yes.
That's incredible to me.
Yes.
That I still like can't believe I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I still feel like I'm just riding this train as long as I can. But acting, I want to ultimately be, my dream is to be on a show that I've created.
Yeah.
And so now I am working on that stuff.
Yeah.
And that was kind of around the time that I started working on that. And I started doing this web series with my friend / writing partner. And I started sharing like everything that I do on a day-to-day basis. And it's kind of opened things up.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, oh yeah, I have a commercial running right now and all my blogger peoples are like messaging me every day. I see you on TV. And it's like really cool
because
they now see this other side of me and it makes it like exciting for them as well.
I'm curious if we're just like, let's dig into this. Let's unpack this for a minute. I'm curious if, do you think that you didn't own that goal of acting? Like, that's a big audacious goal. I want to act in a show that I created. I freaking love it, by the way. I'm a big audacious goal girl myself. But do you think that you didn't own that because it is kind of, especially in LA, I feel like you're like, ugh. It just, you know, for those of you who are not in LA, everybody's an actor.
Everyone's an actor.
So you don't, it's like, you don't actually want to say it because immediately you're going to be judged by the people that you're talking to. Like, I bet you are. So do you think that, was there maybe like muting yourself or not owning that because of what people's reaction might be?
Absolutely. I think it's two-sided in LA. Like, one, everyone's an actor, but because everyone's an actor, everyone understands how hard it is to be a working actor.
Yeah.
Whereas outside of LA, people have no idea.
Yeah.
So they think, like, well, you're an actor? Well, what have you been on?
Yeah.
And if you haven't been on something that they recognize, then they're like, well, then you're not an actor.
Yeah,
and I was
like,
well, it's not really, it doesn't really work like that. And so, I think there was a part of me that was like, well, I don't really want to say I'm an actor until, like, I'm on something people know.
Yes.
And then I was like, no, that's bullshit. Like, I'm in class every week.
Yeah.
I create my own stuff.
Yep.
I go on auditions every week. Like, I am an actor.
Yeah.
And so once I kind of embraced that, then people started to see me that way. And they were like, oh, she's an actress with a blog.
Yeah.
She's an actress who likes fashion.
Yeah.
Like, now I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. It's like this... I feel like we've heard this reoccurring theme quite a bit this season in recordings, and I know I've seen this in my own life, where you think, I'm not allowed to claim that goal or that dream until I've done something to earn the right to claim it. When the irony is that if you can't claim it, if you can't say it out loud, then how can you focus your life and make sure that you're working towards that goal? So thank you for sharing that, because I think that's something that so many women struggle with, is myself included, of like, you have this dream in your heart and you don't want to say it out loud because are you going to laugh at me? Are you going to judge me? Or if I don't get there, well, then I have failed with an audience.
Exactly.
Now you know that was my goal and oh my gosh, if it doesn't happen, how embarrassing or mortifying or whatever.
No, totally.
Man. Do you have an opinion on the must-have pieces that every woman should own? Or
no.
You're like, do your own thing.
You know, it's funny because people always have this misconception. They're like, so, like, what do you think of what she's wearing? I'm just like, I don't walk around checking women out and just deciding whether I approve of their outfits.
Totally.
I actually feel like I'm the complete opposite. I don't really notice what people are wearing unless they're wearing something I just absolutely love and would wear myself.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, that's a cool outfit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's not like I'm judging people all day long. And then as far as, like, must-haves, I'm a big believer in wear what you feel amazing in.
Yeah.
Don't pay attention to trends.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a trend you love, great, but don't try a trend just because it's trendy.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone's wearing and that's what all the magazines say you should be wearing. Because I think ultimately you look the best when you are confident absolutely. And comfortable in what you're wearing. Yep. And if you're wearing something you don't feel right in, it shows.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah. Are you a reader? Are you a book person?
Not really. I mean, it's funny. I like reading books, like biography type books. Mm-hmm. So I've read like every comedic female's book out there. Yeah. Like the Amy Poehler, the Tina Fey, Sarah Silverman, Carrie Fisher. But I don't read books to be like, how do I do something?
Yeah.
Though I will say, I co-wrote a short film with my husband, who's a writer, and we are shooting in January, and I'm directing, which I've never thought to do. And I was like, well, this is the project if I'm going to do it on. Because I was able to attach a really amazing DP, and so I'm like, I feel comfortable. I know this story in and out because it's based on our lives. So with that, I was like, shit, okay, what does it mean to direct a short film? And so I'm reading this book called How Not to Make a Short Film.
Nice.
And it's written by, I'm not going to remember her name, Roberta something Monroe. And she was a programmer for Sundance for like 12 years. So she has all this amazing insight.
Yeah.
And so that is the first book I think I've ever read that I'm like, oh, yeah, this is actually teaching me something and like giving me a goal and a checklist for this job.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I ask everybody who comes on Dais the same 5 questions. They're kind of frivolous, but they're I'm nerdy and I just really like them. So I'm going to ask them to you now.
Okay.
What time do you wake up in the morning?
Around between 6:30 and 7 a.m.
And what's your morning routine like?
So I wake up, I walk my dog, I get coffee, I sit at my desk, usually answer some emails and like push my blog posts to Facebook and Instagram and things like that.
Got it.
Yeah.
What is your daily coffee order?
I'm going to sound like such a freak. Okay. When I make my coffee at home,
yes.
It's different than when I get it out.
Yes. But I'm here for this. Okay. I'm already in.
So at home, I get regular, you know, black coffee that I make my little Keurig organic coffee I find on Amazon. And I use collagen peptides.
Okay.
Two scoops of that.
Yeah.
And about a spoonful of coconut oil.
Yeah.
And then just a little splash of Califia Barista almond milk.
Okay. Great.
I stick this all in my little blender.
Yes.
And blend it for about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it's a frothy, delicious coffee, and it has 18 grams of proteins, and then I'm not hungry for like 2 hours.
Yeah, that's so good. So I do the collagen protein in my smoothie, but I never thought about putting it in the coffee. Do you have to blend it because of the protein?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's gonna be grainy.
I don't think it'll be grainy, but it just doesn't mix as well.
And it has no flavor, right?
You're doing no. It's specific. I use the Vital
protein. The blue. It's the blue.
Yeah. It's great. It actually makes your coffee creamy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I need to try that. I've only been putting it in smoothies.
No,
so
it's really good.
Well, I'm excited. Okay. I might like write down what you just said. What a nerd. Oh, wait. What's your coffee order like at a
regular place? Depending on the temperature outside, I either like an iced latte with almond milk or a hot latte with almond milk.
Nice. Mm. What is the item you can't travel without? I'm traveling for work. What do you take with you?
I have to have my laptop.
Yeah.
Even when I'm traveling for fun.
Yeah.
Just in case I need to do something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the thing, like, my wedding rings are my most prized possession and my laptop is my second.
Yeah.
Which is like, so I had the same laptop for like 6 years. I had written my first 4 books on it. And just changed. And I like felt like, this is so ridiculous, but I was like, will I even be able to write anymore? Like, I don't know. I was so attached. It was like the clunkiest, junkiest thing, but I hear you on the laptop thing.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite like workout, physical activity, and how often do you do it?
Well, I'm not the biggest workouter, but I do love, well, if it's, yeah, oh God. My favorite would probably be just like hiking with my dog.
Yeah.
Or dancing, but more like go out with friends and dance and get like sweaty, which I never do anymore.
Yeah.
But
it
is
a
my
really
favorite.
Good one. Yeah. So I ask everyone, Dais is a platform on which you stand, and you have a platform with your social influence as well as right now on this podcast, and there's so many women who listen to this, and so I ask every guest, if you could tell women listening one thing, like this, like core value that you have learned in the course of your life, it's a big weighted question, right? But if you could tell them one thing and you knew that they would actually take it in, they would actually utilize it in real life, what is the one thing you would tell them?
It's going to sound like cliche, but just really don't be afraid to go after what you want. Mm-hmm. No matter how impossible it seems, just do it. And don't keep thinking about doing it. Yeah. And don't like keep talking about mm-hmm. doing it. Just actually get up the next day and do it.
Yes.
Whether that means buying a domain and yeah. buying your, you know, your WordPress.org yes. and starting your blog, or it means taking an acting class, or it means taking a director class, like whatever it is, just actually like work towards it and yeah. stop talking about it.
I love that. I love the stop talking about it, because mm-hmm. a lot of people will talk and dream, let's work this through, and they think that that's steps to, no, yeah. you actually have to do something yeah. with all the dreams you've talked about out loud. So
absolutely.
Man, Chrissy, thank you so much for hanging out with
Thanks
us today.
Thanks for having me.
For coming
me.
In and yeah. for sharing your wisdom, and for right now going and taking a picture with Rosie, because her heart is going to explode, and she's probably crying
Aww,
out there in a corner.
Stop it.
So no, but there's such incredible wisdom that you have to offer the women who are listening, and I really appreciate you being present and taking the time for that, and being an inspiration to Aww, women like Rosie who need
you.
Someone to look up to and someone to aspire and need to see themselves represented. So yeah. I really sincerely appreciate Ooh, your time.
I just got chills. Thank you so
much. Oh my
much.
Gosh, thank you. And next time I awesome. See you, I hope I'm wearing shoes. We will be back with another episode next week. In the meantime, if you have a moment and you can write a review or subscribe to the podcast, that is life to those of us who work so hard to produce every single episode. For more information, you can check out deuspodcast.com or stalk me on every form of social media. I am Miss Rachel Hollis on every single platform. This week's listener review is from Meg Bees. Meg says, love this podcast. Rachel is my cup of coffee. As a mom and a woman trying to find my place in this world, she speaks directly to my heart. Thank you for all you do, Rach. This Kern County girl loves ya. As a fellow Kern County girl myself, Meg, I super appreciate the review. Thanks so much, girl. If you want to be featured as a weekly review, well, sister, go leave one, and then maybe I'll choose you, and I'll read it next week. Thanks to our producer, Allison Cohen, our sound engineer, Jack Noble, and our sound editor, Andrew Weller. Most importantly, I hope you heard something today that inspires you. I'll see you next week.